We're back to Proverbs 12 this morning, by way of our 5 weeks now, considering it a verse, our verse, that you've likely committed already to memory. Proverbs 12 and verse 25. Worry weighs a person down, but a good word cheers them up. In this world, in our lives, there's going to be that would make you to feel, make you to be unsettled and uneasy, upset and frustrated. Daily, there will be those things in our lives, those things that would make us to be discouraged. There's going to be that would fill you with anxiousness, even fear. There's going to be the trouble. There's going to be the worrisome thing. And that thing, whatever that thing is, maybe even that thing that you're right now having to deal with, that always has the potential to weigh and to wear you down. All of us know that to be true, don't we? Again, maybe it's even right now for some. Certainly all of us can recall the circumstances of life that were troublesome, that were worrisome, and that did weigh us down. The good news this morning, even if you will, the good word, rather than weighed and wore down by the worry, even in the midst of the worry, the ongoing trouble of the troublesome thing, you can be lifted up. You can be picked up. Listen, you can be cheered up. All you need is a good word. How important it is that you have a good word. When in the trouble, worry because there's a most worrisome thing you're having to deal with. This is true. Probably before you start thinking or figuring or planning for any solution, you need to be looking and finding for yourself a good word to hold on to. A good word that even despite the trouble and the worry would keep you cheered up through it all. Can I just add this? This is true. All around you, there are people. In this room, this morning, there are brothers and sisters facing trouble, dealing with worry, weighed down and wore down because of it. Listen now. How important it is then that you would have a good word for them. Because it's the good word that they need. Because it's the good word that would cheer them up. Can I remind you in that? Remember, you are blessed to be a blessing. You have been. I believe this morning you will once again be blessed with a good word. Now, you be a blessing. You take that good word or a good word from His good word and share that with another. Listen, isn't it true? Haven't you been cheered up? Haven't you been picked up? Haven't you been lifted up out of the way down and wore down place of worry by the encouraging word of another? Before you left this room, out there in the foyer, by way of a phone call during the week, a text or an email, a card that was sent, be that encourager. Be that distributor of the good word. Be that one that lifts up, that picks up, that cheers up another. This morning, lest you once again find yourself in that place of worry, your life plagued by the worrisome thing, once more, I have a good word for you. So that rather than weighed down and wore down, you could be, you would be cheered up today. It's a familiar portion of Scripture, a familiar good word to us all. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a good word. I shall not be in want. That's a really good word. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Good word, right? Maybe even the gooder word still. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me simply take you through the psalm this morning. Good word after good word after good word that I pray would surely cheer you up today. The Lord is my shepherd. The psalm begins as if the sheep were speaking. I'm the sheep. You're the sheep. The Lord, he is our shepherd, our good shepherd. The implication, the description, as one puts it, a profound yet practical relationship then between me and my maker. It links a lump of common clay to divine destiny. It means a mere mortal, me, you, we become the cherished object of divine diligence. This thought alone should stir my spirit, quicken my own sense of awareness, and lend enormous dignity to myself as an individual. To think that God in Christ is so deeply concerned about me as a particular person, him, my shepherd, me, his sheep, that immediately gives great purpose and enormous meaning to my short sojourn upon this planet. Can I remind you of that this morning? The very personal nature of this psalm. I think our tendency is to understand it in the context of the church and the church family. We would say it, the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is our good shepherd. But the good word that would be for you this morning, though he is that for us, listen now, he is your good shepherd. All too often we feel a sense of insignificance, even to say unworthiness. We don't figure individually to factor in, to even make it on God's radar. The Lord's the good shepherd of his church, sure. But me, little me, struggling me, insignificant me, 1 in 8 billion on the planet me, we feel lost in the enormity of it all, and everything becomes sort of the plural pronoun. It's us, it's we. Listen, let me remind you this morning, he is your shepherd. You belong to him. You are the sheep of his pasture. Because he bought you with a price, do you remember? The price of his own shed blood. In Isaiah 53, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, our good shepherd. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, for you. Do you hear it? Do you understand it this morning? God so loved the world, yes. He died for us, yes. You, though, are his sheep. He died for you. One author says Christ literally lays himself out for us continually. He's ever interceding for us. He's ever guiding us by His Spirit. He's ever working on our behalf to ensure that we will benefit from His care. He, Christ, our Good Shepherd, He spares no pains for the welfare of His sheep. That's you. You are His sheep. He, your shepherd. That's what He does for you. Spares nothing for your welfare and for your good. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. Your shepherd. Because He is, I shall not be in want. The idea here, it's not so much to be without problem or difficulty. Consider the author. It's David, who had a lot of both. Instead, it's this. In the words of one author, it's to be utterly contented in the good shepherd's care and consequently not craving or desiring anything more. We may be called upon to experience lack, hardship, adversity, yet despite that, still it would remain true. Still it would be our boast. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. The Lord is my shepherd, and under His care, I will not lack anything. It is true, regardless our circumstances, contentment should define our character. Through it all, we are under God's care. After all, we should live. We should act like we know that. Like it's true that the Lord is our shepherd, our good shepherd. And because He is, we have need of nothing more. Good for you to at times talk to your problem. Problem, you may be big, but I have a good shepherd. And because I do, I shall not be in want. Not because of you, problem, or any other thing, because He's my good shepherd. The good word this morning that you can rest in. No need to be worried. No need to be anxious or fearful. Listen now. You have to understand this morning. It's true. The Lord will take care of you. He will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Yes, He will. No, you will not be in want, not even ever, not as long as He is your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd because He is. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. The Lord brings you to the place of peace and rest. Listen, there is a contentedness that can only be found in Jesus. A contentedness that you can know and experience then because He is your shepherd. We would know it to be true. You know it to be true, don't you? There's nothing in or of this life that will make you to lie down in green pastures, that will lead you beside quiet waters. You understand that? You know that? Only Jesus can do that. Only the Good Shepherd can do that. Not more money, not more stuff and or newer stuff, not more influence, not more popularity or power, not more friends, not a better job, not a better life, not anything you would deem necessary for a better life. We know this. I just want you to hear it in the context of the good word of what He does for you. Do you understand this morning? He's your good shepherd, and in Him and because of Him, this is what you have. You have the one and only one who will make you to lie down in green pastures, who will lead you beside quiet waters. In his book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, Philip Keller writes, "The strange thing about sheep is that because of their very makeup, it's almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. Owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free of all fear. because of the social behavior within a flock. Sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with others of their kind. If tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. Only when free of these pests can they relax. Lastly, sheep will not lie down as long as they feel in need of finding food. They must be free from hunger. It's significant that to be at rest, there must be a definite sense of freedom from fear, tension, aggravation, and hunger. The unique aspect of the picture is that it is only the shepherd himself who can provide release from these anxieties. It all depends upon the diligence of the owner whether or not his flock is free of disturbing influences. You understand? The Lord, who is your good shepherd, He's not given you the spirit of fear. He sets you free from the fear. The Lord, who is your good shepherd, He frees you from the bondage of tension and friction with one another as you fix your eyes on Him. One writes this, when we become acutely aware of being in the presence of Jesus, our foolish, selfish, snobbery, and rivalry will end. The fighting, the bickering among the disciples was suddenly silenced by the sound of a basin. Water stirred. Jesus at their feet with a towel. All of a sudden, their eyes on Him. It didn't seem to be so important anymore who was first among them. One writes this, when my eyes are on my master, they are not on those around me. This is the place of peace. The Lord, who's your good shepherd, He applies the healing, soothing, effective antidote of His own person and presence to whatever would aggravate you, whatever would afflict you. The Lord, who is your good shepherd, He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Do you understand? Because He, Jesus, your good shepherd, because He does all of that for you, you have all you need to be at peace, calmly content. You have all you need to lie down and rest in green pastures. Sheep left to their own will often make their way to the polluted potholes. That they'll have the appearance of that would satisfy the thirst. In fact, only bring death. How too well all too many of us know what it is to go to the polluted pothole thinking it's going to satisfy the thirst, only to find and to discover it brought death. You know it's true. Before Jesus, it was your story. You were running to this and to that, to anything, to everything. It had the appearance of that would satisfy, and you would testify to it this morning. Oh, but it brought death. Only in Jesus was this soul satisfied. The good shepherd, He invites you. If anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink. One writes, the human soul with its amazing capacity for God can never be satisfied with a substitute. Only the spirit and life of Christ Himself will satisfy the thirsting soul. The good shepherd, He leads you to the quiet waters that satisfy the thirst and bring life to your soul. Do you understand this morning? Simply put, the good shepherd, He leads you to that is best for you. The green pastures, the quiet waters, and there He restores your soul. To restore is to give back what's been taken, what's been lost, the weight of worry that is taken from you, your joy, your peace, your strength. Listen, the good shepherd, He restores that to you. No matter what you're going through, no matter how downtrodden, discouraged, distressed, or even depressed, listen to me, the good word, He would restore you today. Do you understand that? No matter anything happening, no matter even everything that's happening, oh, but you only need but to meet with Jesus, and He would restore to you today what's been lost and what's been taken from you. In Isaiah 40, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Strength will be restored. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The Good Shepherd Jesus this morning would restore you so that your strength is renewed. Listen, if you've come into the room this morning weakened in body, weakened in mind, weakened in your emotion, weakened in spirit, listen, you meet with the Lord and He will restore so that your strength is renewed, so that you're able to rise up out of the muck and mire of the circumstances of this life, so that you're able to rise up on eagle's wings, to soar over and above it all, even as the eagle does. In Psalm 42, David writes, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" This idea of being cast down, it's actually directly related to shepherding sheep. A cast down sheep, it's an old English term for a sheep that is turned over on its back, can't get up by itself. An incredibly dangerous predicament. Circulation can be cut off. If the weather is hot, sunny, a cast sheep can die in just a few hours. Helpless even when on their feet, this puts the sheep in an even more vulnerable state. Easy before, now even easier prey for any predator. It's interesting, this picture. Completely healthy, strong, able, and yet now immobilized. Utterly helpless, except for the shepherd who finds and comes to rescue the cast down sheep. Do you understand this morning? One writes this, "Many people have the idea that when a child of God falls, when he's frustrated and helpless in a spiritual dilemma, God becomes disgusted, fed up, and even furious. This simply is not so. One of the great revelations of the heart of God given to us by Christ is that of Himself as our shepherd. He has the same identical sensations of anxiety, concern, and compassion for cast men and women as I, a shepherd, had for cast sheep. This is precisely why He looked on people with such empathy and compassion. It explains His magnanimous dealing with down and out individuals for whom even human society had no use. It reveals why He wept over those who spurned His affection. It discloses the depth of His understanding of undone people to whom He came eagerly and quickly, ready to help, to save, to restore. When I read the story of Jesus and examine carefully His conduct in coping with human need, I see Him again and again as the Good Shepherd picking up the cast sheep. After the tragedy of temptation, Christ comes in tenderness and love and patience and restores His own. The reality of life, like David, we will experience trouble, difficulty. We will fail. We will fall. We will become overconfident. We'll ignore wisdom and warning. We will experience our souls cast down, disquieted within us. Why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. David the shepherd, who had no doubt dealt often with some cast down sheep. David, he knew what it was to be under the care of the Good Shepherd and to discover that when it was him that was the cast down one, it's true, the good shepherd came and restored his soul. If you're cast down this morning, your soul disquieted within you, if you're weakened by the troubles of this life, know this morning that yours is the good shepherd. And he today, before you leave this place, would restore your soul. The Lord is my shepherd, because he is. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord leads you. He guides you. He directs your steps. This is the good word this morning, because this is what the Lord does for you. Listen, the really good word, this is what the Lord is doing for you right now. He's guiding you now. The circumstances of your life now. He's leading you. He's directing you now. Everything that you're dealing with, everything that you're going through, may be making you to think that he isn't, but he is. He always is, because he is your shepherd. One writes this: sheep are notorious creatures of habit. If left to themselves, they will follow the same trails until they become ruts, graze the same hills until they turn to desert wastes, pollute their own ground until it's corrupt with disease and parasites. The shepherd is fully aware of this, fully aware of sheep being sort of their own worst enemy, fully aware that sheep left to themselves, it's not good, fully aware then of the responsibility, the need for diligent managing and detailed direction. No wonder God calls us sheep, right? Wow, the trouble we can get ourselves into if left to our own devices. What a mess we can. What a mess we so often have. What a mess we are very likely to make of things. A big mess, and real quick, too. In Proverbs 14, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. How good that we would know that this morning, be reminded of that. How true we know that to be the truth. How important for us to heed then that warning. If I ever find myself asserting self, me and my way over him and his way, I would do well to remember, watch out, because that's the way of death. In John 10, Jesus says, I came so they can have life, real life, abundant life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of, even eternal life. Do you see the contrast? Go your own way, that's death. Go his way, that's life. How we need him then to be the good shepherd that leads us, right? Where he leads, there's fullness of joy, pleasure forevermore. Where he leads, that's the level ground where the path is made straight for us. In Psalm 73, you guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. It's by his leading that we walk in righteousness, that we do right and live right. It's by his leading that we discover true peace. It's by his leading that we're able to navigate through life, even all its troubles, never shaken. In Romans 8 and verse 28, we know that all that happens is working for our good if we love God and are figuring into his plans. That's the promise of his leading. In Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future filled with hope. If you want that, the prospering, not the harming, the future filled with hope, if you want that, you follow then his leading. In Psalm 37, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord leads them by the hand. In Isaiah 58, the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry, restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Do you understand how we need his leading to experience and to live and all that? How good his leading. How good then to know he is the shepherd, the good shepherd, my good shepherd, your good shepherd, who leads you and guides you in the paths of righteousness. The Lord's my shepherd, because he is. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here's the good word. Because the Lord is your good shepherd, yours is the walk through the valley. You see it, right? You understand it. Not stuck. Not lingering forever. Not where and what you must resign yourself to. Yours is the walk through. The difficulty is this. The valley is real. You and I will for sure spend some time there. But the good word, He will walk with you and He will walk you through that valley. For you, for me, for us, in and under the care of the Good Shepherd. One says it this way, everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. Another writes this, the disappointments, the frustrations, the discouragement, the dilemmas, the dark, difficult days, though they be shadowed valleys, they need not be disasters. They can be the road to higher ground in our walk with God. Every mountain has its valleys. Its sides are scarred by deep ravines and gulches and draws, and the best route to the top is always along these valleys. He walks you through, and while there in the valley, He comforts you. He does that by His rod, representative of His word. By His word, He comforts you today. He does that by His staff, representative of His spirit. Listen, the Spirit testifies with your spirit that you're a child of God. That's the comfort you have today. In your trouble, you belong to Him. You're His child. He cares for you. He watches over you. He walks with you as you walk through. He comforts you. One writes this, He comes quietly but emphatically to make the life of Christ, my shepherd, real and personal and intimate to me. Through Him, I am in touch with Christ. There steals over me the keen awareness then that I am His and He is mine. The gracious Spirit continually brings home to me the acute consciousness that I am God's child and He is my Father. In all of this, there is enormous comfort and a sublime sense of oneness, of belonging, of being in His care, and hence the object of His special affection. Ultimately, there in the valley, He comforts you with His presence. He's with you in every dark trial, in every dismal disappointment, in every distressing dilemma, in every troublesome thing, in any worrisome thing, in any and every situation. He is with you. And so then, you have no need to fear. This is the good word this morning. I know we don't always live up to it, but still, this is the reality. This is the truth, and this is the good word. You have no need to be afraid, because the Lord is your good shepherd, and He is with you. But Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. This is true. I don't know, I don't understand. But listen to me this morning. I do know who your good shepherd is. And so I would say to you, I would remind you today, you have no need to be afraid, because the Lord, He is your good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Because He is, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The good shepherd, He goes ahead of you. He prepares the way for you. For every situation, for every extremity that you might encounter. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that a good word? Where you are, the Lord has already been clearing the way, making the way for you to follow. In Hebrews 4, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Connect connecting that with Psalm 23. One writes, because of this, he understands us. He has totally identified himself with humanity. He has therefore a care and compassion for us beyond our ability to grasp. No wonder he makes every possible provision to ensure that when we have to cope with Satan, sin, or self, the contest will not be one-sided. Rather, we can be sure he has been in that situation before. He is in it now again with us. And because of this, I love this, the prospect of our preservation is an excellent one. Can I tell you this morning, yours is the good shepherd. I don't need to know what you're going through because I know he is your good shepherd. And because I know who he is and what he does, I'm telling you this morning, no matter what it is, the prospect of your preservation is an excellent one. Do you understand this morning? Your victory is a most assured one as you live your life in him, the victorious one, him who is your good shepherd. The good shepherd knows the enemy. Jesus knows every trick, every treachery, every scheme of the devil. He knows how to protect you, and he does, so that you can experience and live in the life, not defined. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me, sister. Not defined by the enemy stealing and killing and destroying in you. No, no way. Rather, instead, because he's the good shepherd, your good shepherd, your life defined by the abundant life, table in the presence of my enemy kind of life. The Lord is my shepherd. Because he is, he anoints your head with oil, your cup overflows. For the sheep, it's the oil that soothes and heals. For the irritations of life, the little foxes that ruin the vineyard, the petty annoyances that ruin everything, the worry that weighs and wears you down, for any of it, for all of it, he's the good shepherd who would this morning anoint your head with oil. His precious anointing oil, the oil of his precious Holy Spirit that would soothe and heal every irritated and aggravated place in your life. The Lord is my shepherd because he is. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. This is a good word this morning. This is the ultimate conclusion. You have to hear me, brother. You have to hear me, sister. This is the ultimate conclusion of every chapter that is the story of your life. This is the end of every story that's a part of your story. Before anything in your life or my life, before any of it concludes, it will come to this end: the Lord's goodness and the Lord's mercy. This is the good word in Jesus, because he's the good shepherd. No matter how bad your story, oh, but it will not end until it ends with his goodness. No matter how severe your sin, how devastating what it's done to you, those around you, this your testimony, because yours is the good shepherd. Your story ends with mercy. His mercy. What a promise, what a blessing that is for the child of God. Always the outcome that is always in the end for us, the demonstration of his goodness, the expression of his mercy. What a foundation upon which to build our faith and our confidence in him. What a foundation upon which to build a life free from worry and fear, a life lived in continual peace and joy. What a good word. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And here it is, ultimately the good word that is this: and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the house of the Lord is where the Lord's presence is. Here's the reality. We enjoy the experience of that right here, right now, in this life. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He is always with you. Do you understand that? this morning. His presence with you in any and every situation, in any and everything. The Lord, the Good Shepherd, is with you. You are not alone. You are not on your own. The Lord, the Good Shepherd, is with you. The Lord to tarry, you will face life's final battle with death one day. But you understand, right? Even there and then, you will know His presence. Even, in fact, like you've never known before. How good the good word that is His goodness and mercy. How even better the good word that is His presence with us forever. So, my brother, my sister, I pray for you today that you hear the good word. Listen now. The Lord is your shepherd. Your good shepherd. You shall not be in want. You will lie down in green pastures. Enjoy quiet waters. Your soul will be restored. Your strength, your joy, your peace restored. You will be led by Him into the good path, the right path, the way of righteousness. You will walk through. Do you hear me, my brother, my sister? I don't say it flippantly or casually. I say it according to the authority of God's word. Listen now, you will get through this. Of course you will. He's the good shepherd that will walk with you through and lead you ultimately through. You will not be afraid. Come on now, my brother. My sister, you will not be afraid. You will be comforted. You will be victorious in the presence of your enemies. You will be healed, set free and delivered by the precious anointing oil of His Spirit. You will know, you will experience His goodness and His mercy and forever and ever His presence, because He, the Lord, is your shepherd. Hear that good word today and be cheered up by that good word. Father, would you help then in that? No doubt about it, my brother, my sister in the room, there has been that this week that has perhaps weighed them down, wore them down. It's been the troublesome thing. It's been the worrisome thing. Would you meet with them in this place? Good Shepherd, Lord, would you fill this room with your presence? Would you fill this room with your presence so that we, your sheep, can encounter once again the goodness of our good shepherd? Would you stand to your feet in this room? I want to invite you this morning just for a few minutes before we leave. I want to invite you. I want you to know that as you meet with the Lord right now, listen to me. As you meet with the Lord right now, you meet with the Good Shepherd. Meet with Him today. Be with Him for a few minutes. Call out to Him. Rest in Him for a few minutes this morning before we leave. He's your Good Shepherd. He longs to meet with you today. He longs to do His restoring work in you. He longs to anoint you with the soothing, healing oil of His Spirit. Let Him do that. Meet with Him. Call out to the Good Shepherd. Oh, good for us for a few minutes. Let's worship the Good Shepherd. Let's thank the Good Shepherd. For who you are to us. For what you do for us. While we rest this morning, the Lord is our Good Shepherd. We thank you, Lord. Worship Him, church. Lift your hands, lift your voice. Rest in the care this morning of the Good Shepherd. Rest in His love for you. His care, His protection, His careful watch over you. Rest in that this morning. Enjoy that. Let your soul be saturated by that this morning before you go out into the world that awaits you this week. Come on, lift your voice and let Him know that you know, oh, how great Thou art. Come on, lift your voice and tell Him that. Let your Good Shepherd, make your boast in your Good Shepherd this morning. Jesus is my great Shepherd. Oh, how great, how wonderful is my Good Shepherd. Put a marker in this moment. I'd rather have Jesus, my Good Shepherd, than any other person, than any other thing. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Good Shepherd. Thank you that I'll never be in want. Thank you that you watch over me, you protect me. You lead me to green pastures beside quiet waters. You walk me through the valley of death. You comfort me. You're with me. You restore me. You give me the victory, even in the presence of my enemies. Oh, how great you truly are to do all of that for me. For me. To be my Good Shepherd. You give to me your goodness. You show to me your mercy. Oh, how great. How great. How great. Just tell Him, church. You tell Him in your own words. You tell Him in your own words. Just love on your Good Shepherd for a minute. Just love on Jesus for a few minutes before we leave today. How good He's been to you. Come on, you know that to be true. Thank Him as you remember, as you recall to mind in this moment. There was the time you were afraid, but He reminded you you didn't have to be afraid. There was the time you thought you had a need, but He reminded you He'd take care of the need. He'll protect you and watch over. Reminded this morning of the victory. Reminded this morning when He healed you from that that irritated and aggravated you. Thank Him. Thank you. Make it personal. It'll always be true, no matter the circumstances of our life, but your circumstances are a testimony. He's always been faithful. He's always been the Good Shepherd for you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, because you are the lamb that was slain, because you are our good shepherd. It is true. You are worthy of it all. All the glory, all the honor, all the worship, and all the praise. This morning, we give that to you. Because you are worthy. Thank you, Jesus, for the good word this morning that would cheer me up. I pray that would cheer my brother, my sister up. That you, Lord, are our good shepherd. We thank you for that today. May we leave today and live this week that as the foundation for everything we deal with, everything we go through, even every waking moment. Oh, but the Lord is my shepherd, my good, good shepherd. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, would you lift your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord this morning? As under shepherd of the great shepherd, high priest of this assembly, I declare it over you this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. Oh, I pray it. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Be, oh, so good to you. Be gracious to you. Show to you the extravagance of his favor. And the Lord turn to you and give to you his peace and remind you that he is your shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you this morning.